Yes. Why would you ask? And so, I'm so sorry. Yeah, operator error. Who would have thunk? Thanks, Todd. Todd did remote control to turn it off just so he could do that, right? Just to get me back. Well, let's read chapter 3 again then. Just kidding. Let's not. So, again, sin enters into the world. Let's just look at this. Let's just break down this chapter and just understand this. And here's the reality. We're going to look at something that I've just had a good time with, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this evening, the error of Adam and Eve. It's sort of like post-game analysis of what went wrong. And I want to look at Adam and Eve so that you and I, we might learn from them, because what's interesting, the devil doesn't seem to have changed his tactics very much at all. But let's just see first how we get there. Let's just look at the serpent, the devil. I want to show you just a few passages. How do we know that the serpent is the devil? These are just two passages that make it absolutely clear. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Then Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So just so you know, when we go through this, I know you all know that, but I think it's important because not everybody knows this, that when we see this serpent here in chapter 3, it was a serpent, to be clear. But it was inhabited, controlled, whatever the right terminology is, by Satan, the devil. Now, this is also interesting, and I won't spend a lot of time with this. Somehow, the serpent was culpable. The serpent was allowed the devil to use him, because when God cursed the serpent, it was justified. It was right. There's a lot of mysteries in that. I don't know what all that means. I just highlight that for you to say, when God cursed the serpent, he did it because the serpent was culpable in allowing the devil to use him, let alone the fact that he talked, okay? I do love reading some, and they're like, well, you know, some animals can, you know, make sounds that sound like words, and we have the parrot, right? And, you know, Polly want a cracker? You know, did God really say that? Right? I don't think that's what happened here. It's an interesting thought. Eve didn't seem to have a conniption. Now, everything was new to her. You know, I mean, oh, look at that brontosaurus. Ah, that's cool. You know, so everything was new, and so it is, it's interesting that she didn't seem shocked that the serpent talked. We know a donkey talks later. We know that creation will praise him, and who knows in eternity if animals will talk. I'm not worried about it, nor am I saying they will, but it's interesting that this serpent here talked and she didn't have a conniption. Now, one of the things I want you to notice is that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. What that means is crafty, shrewd, sly. So the devil picked an animal that was more subtle, more crafty, more shrewd, more sly than any beast of the field. And so we know this, the devil's the great deceiver, and that's exactly what he did with Eve. And so I highlight that. Let's just look at his tactics. We'll just look at a few tactics, and then we'll look at the error of Adam and Eve. If you will, look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, I want you to know this. That was a stupid question, first of all, because he asked her, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? No. It wasn't every tree of the garden. It was just one. But what he did, what did he do? He questioned the word of God. So I want you to understand this. This is where you and I will fall apart. Now, we must hide God's word in our heart. It's just not knowing that the word of God. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that the Bible is the inerrant, perfect word of God? I've told you this before. It's why I'm a King James guy. Because it's the text from which it's translated. And I believe that God has perfectly preserved the Hebrew and the Greek perfectly. Jesus said, made it super clear, not one jot or one tittle will pass away. Those are the smallest marks in the Hebrew language that if they did go away, it wouldn't change the meaning. So he said, those marks that could go away and won't make any difference in what I'm telling you, they won't go away. Till heaven and earth pass. I don't think heaven and earth has passed yet. Unless we're not on earth. And so, last I checked, we were on earth. And so I have the great confidence, and yes, there is some faith. And so I want you to understand this. It's with young people. They will mock the Bible. They will question you. And you're going to get chewed up and spit out if you try to serve the Lord. Somebody is going to know their error better than you know their truth. And don't you let that make you doubt God. I've been chewed up and spit out so much. And I'm just like, ah. And I just go back and I just know this. I know that God's word is perfect. I know that God is, he promised us that he's going to. And so understand this. Listen. Now you do need to ask questions about the Bible, but not question whether the Bible's right. You need to determine what is God telling us. Absolutely. But know this, God doesn't contradict himself. There are apparent contradictions in the Bible, but when you understand them, there are zero contradictions in the Bible. None. And when it looks like there's a contradiction, I want you to just hear what I believe, and it's been proven out. There are contradictions, they're just in my mind. And I love it, and it brings glory to God, and it solidifies my belief in the Scriptures, and there's still some things I don't understand about the Scriptures. There's still things that God does that I don't understand. I'm not saying I will understand it all, but I know this. It's not because there's error that I don't understand. And so I want you to have that confidence. Yea, hath God said. It'll begin that way. Oh, you know, there's a great movement. Worldly Christianity. People are chucking what we want. We want holiness. We don't want to be holier than thou with that spirit, but we want holiness. And people today are trying to have the world and Jesus too. And they're out there saying, oh, do you have to do that? I just tell you this, we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's no room for the world if we do that. And so we will delight in his ways. And so, yea, hath God said. The second thing he does, so first thing he does is question God's word. The second thing, he lies about it. Look at this in verse 2 and 3. I've talked about this before. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. I do not believe she's lying. Here's what I believe. I believe Adam probably told her that. I would tell her, don't touch it. Right? And I told my kids, don't eat an outlet. Don't touch it. Not told him not to eat an outlet. But, you know, why get near it, right? Why flirt with sin? And Adam may have given her good advice, and that's all I think it is. But maybe there was a little bit of spirit that the devil was teasing out of her that it sounds so modern. Was she saying it negatively? Can't even touch it. That beautiful tree over there, look at that thing. Can't even touch it. I hear Christians that are rejecting holiness, and I don't want to be like you. And so, look, I want to tell you this. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be focused on the kingdom of God and his work, and when I am, everyone will benefit. I don't know if she had a spirit that you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She may have just been quoting Adam. But here's the lie. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's an absolute contradiction, absolute lie of what God said. I take you back. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. God says this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when the devil says, you shall not surely die, he's saying, God's wrong, I'm right. And so understand this. It is... I think I have John 8:44. It's just a great verse. It says, Jesus, when he was really telling them that they must be born again. You are of your father the devil, speaking to the religious leaders and the crowd that surrounded them. You are of your father the devil. You understand this spiritually. Spiritually, you're either going to have God as your father through faith in Christ, you're born again into the family of God, or the devil is your spiritual father. That's rough. People don't like to hear that. But that's Bible. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. The devil. The devil came, he lied, and the devil will tell you this. He'll lie to you, and it's the great deceit. You understand this? Every time we sin, we bottle lie. If you're a believer, you do not have to sin. That's just Bible. And when we sin, we've bought a lie. We don't love the Lord enough to resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Understand this. Who are we listening to? You know, it's just, understand this. Who do you listen to? And I tell you this. I have no idea why you want to listen to secular music. It ain't because God wants you to. It's your flesh. You love it. You love it. You know, it's still, you know, I mean, the only songs I know pretty much are like 80s. So if I hear 80s songs, I'm like, oh, man. You know, and I'll catch myself. I'll be like, I'm not even going to say some of the words. I'm not even, because I'll suck you guys into the middle church. You're like, you know, I'm not. You know that, right? We all have these tunes we listen to. I wish I stopped listening when I was 16 years old, but it's still in my head, right? It is, who are you listening to? Who are you putting in your mind? Who are you listening to? And so, hopefully it's not the father of lies. First he questions the word of God, then he lies about the word of God. Then, I say this, he sells bondage as freedom. He sells bondage as freedom. Look at this, if you will, in verse 5. He says in verse 4, just to be clear, you shall not surely die. And he continues, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. True. Their eyes were opened. So he told something that was true. Your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He started it with the truth and ended it with the truth, but right smack dab in the middle, he lied through his teeth. You know what he's selling there? He's selling freedom. You tired of having to do what this God says? And I do agree. I've read some more commentaries. It's very interesting. I'll seed this. I'm going to look at it more, study it more. It is the Day of Atonement is on the 10th day, right? The Day of Atonement. Is it Day of Atonement on the 10th day, or is it the Passover on the 10th day? I can't remember. I'll go back and study it better. But it's one of those. And here's one of the theories I read about this week. It was interesting. It's the theory that maybe they fell on the 10th day, and that's why God chose the 10th day as the Day of Atonement. Or it's Passover. I can't remember. So don't hold me for that. I'll figure it out when I preach it. But it's very interesting, isn't it? So it wasn't that long. But here's what the issue is. You understand this? This is the issue in today, Christianity. Who will we submit to? Myself? Christ? The world? Who am I living for? And that's what he's selling. He's saying, oh, no, no. The Lord does know. On the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. You'll be as gods. Oh, you'll be as gods. And who's going to tell you what to do anymore? Nobody. Submission is my issue. It'll be my issue till I go to the grave. If I truly submit to the Lord each and every day, if I submit to the Lord in times of temptation, I will have victory, and I must submit to him. I must humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift me up. But will I submit to him? It's submission, submission, submission. And Eve said, man, I like that. It's submission or rebellion. That's what life is about. Will I submit, or am I going to do it my way? You've heard me say this. One of the worst songs ever written, Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. You do it your way. There's only one destination for you. That's eternal damnation. Get no joy saying that. God gets no joy. that being the reality, but we better not do it our way. We better submit to the one that designed us, that created us, that gave us life, and that's God. So the devil, he's still selling the same thing. He's going to question God's word, he's going to lie about God's word, and he's going to sell bondage as though it's freedom. The sexual revolution says, oh, don't you put yourself... You know this? I hope you parents talk about it. Virginity is mocked today. I tell you this, we must be clear. Why does virginity matter? The honor of Christ. That's why it matters. If there is no God, it doesn't matter. I know you could go into all of the psychology of it, and obviously God knows all he's doing, and there's detriments to your thinking and your mind. But see, it matters because the honor of Christ is at stake. You understand this? And so I want you to know this. You can't change yesterday. Why does it matter for you to live right today, even though you may have done something 52,000 times? Because the honor of Christ is at stake again today. And what I love is, stop dwelling on yesterday, put that behind you, confess your sins, and let's do what's right today, because the honor of Christ is at stake. And just enjoy that and love that and delight in that. But that's why it matters. That's why it mattered about this tree. The honor of God is at stake. And so you've heard me give my theory on the tree, and I'm not going to rehash that, but he questioned it, he'll lie about it, and then he's going to sell you. I'm telling you, he sells sin so well. And then every one of us, you sin, it's sort of like, I mean, this is what happened to Adam and Eve. They're like, that's how sin, man. You'll know it, and sometimes it is a little delayed. But eventually, I mean, I'm dead serious. It's okay. You're not going to be a loser, but I'm just curious. Is there one Christian here that says, I have some sin that was worth it? Any Christians here that say, there's some sin that was worth it? You see, I promise you this. I really don't think that's because you don't raise your hand. Every true believer in here says, there's not one sin that was worth it. Not one lie that was worth it. Not one anything that was worth it. There's not one sin that was worth it. Would you want to repeat it? Would you want to do it again? Any sin? Or are there sins that still double you over when you think of them, and you just got to say, I know the Lord's forgiven me. I'm going to embrace his forgiveness, and I'm not going to dwell on that. So I want you to understand this. We need to rehearse this in our minds so that we aren't fooled. I tell you this again. I do not believe we will sin in eternity because we will not. Not because we can't. I don't believe I can sin in my new body when I get my new body. I won't be able to sin. But I will not sin because I know the truth. Now I can't sin, but I won't sin because I won't sin because I know what is right, good, and true. And we won't have a repeat of another Lucifer lifting up his eyes in pride. No, we can't sin, but we won't sin because we will understand sin as God does. He did make the angels different. I'm glad I'm made a little lower than the angels so that my new body will be better than the angels. And I believe this with the elect angels the Bible uses. Not only is that chosen for special service, but in election there is security. You can see that. There's security. The elect angels can't sin. I believe that they were chosen for service, but I also believe there's security in that as well. We can talk that another day. Three things. I've talked this as well. Lust of the flesh. Look, if you will, but verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Good. That's where Campbell's soup motto came from. Eve created it. I mean, she had every fruit, and I'll guarantee you there's fruits that don't exist today. Maybe not. But it was way better. But all she could think about was, whoa, look at that fruit. Man, that looks good. She's eating this fruit over here. And it was just in a matter of days, I believe. Just in a matter of days. That boy, that looks good for food, right? Understand this. It's be careful what your eyes. Lust of the flesh, good for food. Lust of the eyes. It was that it was pleasant to the eyes. Look at verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. God didn't make it a shaggy tree. everything God made was what? Very good. Very good. I tell you, whatever your theory is, it's fine. But when God made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and plopped it right in the middle of the Garden of Eden, it was very good. Best thing, perfect thing that he could have done. Very good. You may not like my theory. I might not next year. So it's just a theory. I want God to be glorified in my theories, and if it doesn't, I hope I change. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Oh, I want that. And the pride of life. Look at this in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, to make one wise. You see, the devil, there's a little bit of this. He was selling his own sin, wasn't he? He wanted to be the one that was worshipped. He wanted to be the sovereign of the universe. He wanted to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he tempted Eve with it. It was probably his greatest temptation. Because the devil didn't make the fruit, did he? The devil didn't make it look good. What did he do? Oh, Eve. You know, don't you dare let Adam think you're stupid. I don't know what he said. Adam wouldn't have said that. He wouldn't have said that because he had not sinned. But he tempted Eve, a tree that will make one wise. I'm telling you, it's like fool's gold. Pride of life. We make it all about ourselves. We'll hear that on Sunday in 1 John as I finish the message. Now, the error of Adam and Eve. I have seven thoughts. I want to tell you this. I think Psalm chapter 1 is the passage that just speaks of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Look at this, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're going to see, it's one of my criticisms of Adam and Eve. Why didn't they walk away? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters of river that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That is their issue. Let's look at the first thing. They listened to the devil. They listened to the devil. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. They listened to the devil. Again, I tell you this, who are you listening to? Garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into your head, you put garbage into your ears, you will act out on garbage, you will think on garbage, you'll think on trash. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down below. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It is, little children's songs have great meaning. Oh, be careful. You know what you need to do? Men, some woman says something that you know is flirtatious, be a weirdo. Call her out and say, man, I know I'm handsome. Don't say that. I'm just telling you this. Tell them this. I mean, be weird and say, you know what? I don't like you flirting with me. I am a weirdo. Leave me alone. I've got one woman. I want nothing to do with you. Did you understand that? I've never had to do that. Praise the Lord. But I am ready. I am so ready. You better believe it. My wife flirted with me the other day, and I'm like, oh, you're allowed. But I'm ready. You think that woman will ever talk to me again? I doubt it. It's theory. But I'd rather be weird than listen to it. You know this. Every man in here, you like to think you still got it. Broken hip and all. Right? You don't got it. You never had it. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. He gave you a woman. That's a miracle. Right? But you know that. Am I right? Am I right? Shut them down. They'll be like, man, he's weird. That's good. Don't you ever do that again. You know what flirting is, do you not? You know what flirting is, do you not? It begins with listening, does it not? It begins with looking, does it not? Are we much different than Adam and Eve? We're not. I want to tell you this, ladies, I know this. Don't you ever talk to another man about your marriage problems. Period. Foolish, sinful, and all of a sudden, you'll start getting attracted to them because, man, I wish my husband was like that. Well, you know what? Then pray about it. And stop listening to some other deadbeat that'll be worse than your husband. You know that's where it all begins, right? We start listening, we start looking, we start imagining, and we're buying into the lie of the devil. And it doesn't come in the form of a serpent all the time, does it? Now, these guys, they would probably fall for a serpent, right? I mean, they just love them. Like a boa constrictor, they'd be like, I'm so tempted, you know? I would cut its head off. But see, the devil doesn't always come scary, does he? That's why I don't like the cartoon showing him with a pitchfork and a red tail, makes a joke of him. He's not a joke. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your life, and he hates everyone in this room. I don't care if you're a Satan worshiper, he hates your guts too. Because your guts were created in the image of God. I'm just telling you, they listened to the devil. And this is important to know, Adam was there. I will tell you this, guys, I didn't care what my kids thought. I was going to stand up and say, I told them this, you touch my daughter, I'll kill you. I would be wrong, but I will gladly spend life imprisonment over you. There's probably a better way to say it. I don't think I was a pastor. Maybe I was early in my pastorate. I did say pretty strong things, but I wanted them to fear me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need something visible? Here I am. And so, you know, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. I am going to protect my kids. Dads, Adam should have done something, should have said something. What about you? Okay? Don't blame her. Why am I picking on you lately? I don't know. You just get good eye contact with me, right? Everybody else kind of looks down, Zach. You're going to have to learn that move. You're going to have to learn that move. But don't you think we should learn? They listened. Don't you listen to things of the devil. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You listen to it long enough, you'll start listening with this whole thing here, this whole heart. Second thing I want you to see, they did not flee. Oh, I think I showed you that. They did not flee. Okay, stop pressing buttons. All right, let me just see here. They did not flee. I want to show you some verses. I want to show you. You know what they should have done? Run. Run. Adam should have grabbed her hand and said, Eve, we're out of here. Should have run to God and say, God, what's up with this snake? What's up with this serpent? They should have turned to God. They should have said, What in the world? You didn't tell us about this. They didn't. They didn't flee. Look at these verses. They're great verses. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. It's not that they were dealing with fornication. There's some weirdos that make up stuff with Adam and Eve. Just if you ever hear people making this up, they try to make the fall of Adam and Eve sexual. You know what that is? That's called a pervert that can't make... And it's Adam and Eve ate a fruit and they were tempted because of pride, lust of the eyes, and lust of flesh. It wasn't anything sexual. How many have ever heard theories like that, just goofy? Okay, sorry to introduce it to you. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It says flee from idolatry. Corinthians also tells us that idolatry is covetousness. If you don't say it right, you're messed up. You know, Todd always wants me to tell you this. Todd wants it to be clear. It's not him that's picky about covetousness, but we're all going to go to our grave believing it is. It was his pastor that had a picky thing, but we're just going to blame you, Todd. Mr. Covetousness, okay? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee idolatry. Run from it. Run from it. I want to tell some of our young people and some of our old people, you're put in situations where you're tempted, run. Run. Call mom, call dad, run. 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 Flee is not just a spiritual perspective. Run. 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 Flee fornication, flee idolatry. Look at, if you will, 1 Timothy 6. It's talking about fleeing riches. Look at verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That word can and usually means damnation. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man, flee these things. Flee pursuit of riches. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then look at your will, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust. Old men, flee youthful lust. Right? I don't think there's old men lust. They're just youthful lust creeping up in an old man. Okay? That's what I finally figured out as an old man. I can still have foolish youthful lusts, and it's called sin, it's called rebellion, it's sleazy, it's wrong, and I need to flee youthful lust. If I'm young, flee youthful lust. If I'm old, flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart. They didn't run. That's why I did Psalm 1. Blessed are they that standeth not, that walketh not, that standeth not, and that sit. You see the progression? Hey, I think I'll just stand here and listen to you. And then they're sitting. That's the story of Lot. Lot, he sojourned to Sodom. Pretty soon he's in the gate and he's all sucked in and his family was destroyed. I tell you this, I know I'm passionate. I'm probably come across as mean. I don't want to come across as mean. I am preaching to myself. I will tell you this, I love getting older. I don't want to destroy my life right now. I've seen a lot of old men destroy their lives. Because they listened, they pondered, they waited, and they thought about it, and then they destroyed their lives, ruined their families. You know what I want to do? I want to go to my grave in Elia thinking good of Jesus Christ. I don't want them to have to explain what happened to Papa. Well, Papa used to preach. Papa used to serve the Lord. Papa used to. And then he blew it. I don't want to be that way. And so I'm preaching to myself as passionately as ever. Two more verses I want you to see. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is what we got to do when these thoughts come to my mind, to our mind. He said, casting down imaginations. That was the issue that we'll see in Genesis chapter 6. Their imaginations were continually evil all the time. Casting down imaginations. And every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You see, Adam and Eve should have said, no! There's nobody but God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4:8, what a great verse. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the good things. How many remember the old Happy Goodman family? I'm going to think on the good things. You know, I mean, that's a good song. Are you thinking on the good things? Think on what the Lord has done for me. You know, I'm going to finish. But think on the good things. That's what God tells us to do, right? That's what God tells us to do. Adam and Eve, they listened. They didn't flee. Third thing I want you to see, Eve. Now, I'm picking on Eve because Adam knew exactly what he was doing. So when I pick on Eve, I'm going to pick on Adam here in just a second. Eve did not have God's word in her heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You say, oh no, Steve, she did. She did. She knew what God said. If she would have had it here and said, there's no God but my God. My God always tells the truth. My God never lies to me. If that was all here in her heart, I want to tell you this. You just put a straitjacket on me. Because do you think, if you ever hear me say this, the Bible's not right. Shoot me. Put a straitjacket on me, rabies, something's wrong. Because I'll tell you this, it's in my heart, and I thank God for it. It's not because I'm smarter, not because I'm better. It's because God has put it in my heart, and I love this. Why is that in my heart? It's the goodness of God. But I'll tell you this, Eve didn't have it in her heart. She had it in her head. A lot of people going to Baptist churches, they have it in their head. We need to ask God. I've begged God. I still beg God. Oh, God, let it seep down into my heart. I don't know how to get it there. Do you guys know how to get it there? I don't. But I'm just going to keep going over it over and over and over again. And I just know this. I think God likes that prayer request, don't you? Oh, God, put your word in my heart. And I think he's told me this. Put it in your head first. And then, you know, and so get it in your heart. Eve didn't have it in her heart. Oh, she wishes she did. She wishes she did. She wishes she did. Fourth thing I want you to see. Eve let her flesh drive her decisions. And that's what we do. That's what we do. I want to show you Romans 7:18. Oh, it's on there. It's on there. Sharp man. Romans 7:18. It says, for I know that in me, Paul's talking about this schizophrenia of Christianity. You know, if you're a Christian, you're a schizophrenic. And so am I. And so he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. That's not really me. But I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Eve let her appetites drive the day. Eve let her appetites drive the day. She walked in the flesh. If you'll allow me to say this, it's not the perfect analogy because Eve is not like us. We were born in sin. So we don't need to have a theological discussion about it. So just run with it, okay? Because I'm trying to apply it to us. And so there's a few flaws in my thought with Eve. But I believe this. She let her appetites. It was good for food. You know, it's this. I don't know. I'm guessing every Christian in here, the only thing you wanted was sin sometimes. Ask God to take those appetites away. Don't blame God for your appetite. Sin is so dominating, is it not? That you're like, that's all I want. Sin becomes the filet mignon of your life. Or whatever your favorite food is. That's all I want. That's all I want. Again, start with the head. So I tell people, just do what God says. Start thinking on the right things. Start bathing your mind in the Word of God. And be committed and say, I'm going to do it until God changes me. I believe in it so strongly. I've watched it time and time again. It's one of the reasons why I encourage you. You should be teaching people because you know why? It'll reinforce God's Word. Do you know this? I don't have to be a magician and figure out what should I teach. You know what God says? The Bible. I think I just might. You know, this is a mad experiment that I'm in the middle of pastoring. So sorry. And I will tell you this. You know what I believe? This might shock you. Now, I need to do a little work. I believe this. I'm going to tell you this, and this will shock you. I believe I could study the book of Leviticus, and God would do the same thing as when I'm studying the book of John. If you think it's because I'm teaching the book of John and I've done it hundreds of times, it's because I know how to teach John. It's his word. I'm not suggesting you do Leviticus, but I believe I could. Not really, or else I'd do it. But theoretically, right? Theoretically, I just tell you this, it's the power of God's word. The power of God's word. So if it can change people that want nothing to do with him, can it change us that want him to change us? Isn't that so encouraging? And so you know this, what I tell you this? Be in the Word of God, even if you think it's boring. Remember, it's your issue if you think it's boring. Study the Word of God. Get the Word of God in you. If you're not a good reader, listen to it. Get it in you. Get it in you. Get it in you, right? Listen to it. Read it. Study it. It'll change your life. I know this. If you want to sin, you'll purposely stay out of the Bible. If you find that, you're heading for sin. Get in the book. Eve let her flesh drive her decisions. Adam did not protect his family. He didn't. That's why God held him accountable. That's why God said, for as by one man, Eve sinned first. For as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. I'm going to take you to just an awesome passage you're familiar with, but I want you to take it in the light of Adam. God says this, look at this in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Adam was the head of Eve. He was there. She just gives him, he's right there and he eats. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Will Jesus protect us, Nassim? Will Jesus ever let us down? Will Jesus ever be at fault for saying, I'm sorry I didn't protect you? No, he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. We can trust in him. And he said, nothing will separate you from the love of God for those that are in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Perfect protection. That's what our job is. He says in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church with that agape sacrificial love and gave himself for it. Why? This is why. Adam, why should you have just protected your wife so that you might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by word? Adam, you should have done that because your wife is the daughter of God. That he might, Christ, might present it to himself, the church. But he's also talking about wives here. But not really, because he tells us at the end he's talking about his church, but he's talking about wives in the church. You know, verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We need to take that personally as a church. That's what Christ desires from us. Do we want Christ to look like he's a failure? Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Adam did not love Eve. And he thought he did. And it'll confuse you when I give you my last point. Oh, second, I'm going to. Eve drew Adam into her sin. I've got two more, and I'll quickly do it. Eve drew Adam into her sin. It was just one thing. You know, this is the way it is. Why can't we sin by ourselves? Oh, no, got to text somebody about it. Got to call somebody about it. Got to bring, come on over, man. I'm not happy to sin on my own. Look at a few verses I want to show you. Eve drew Adam. It's Proverbs chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice thee. You know what Adam should have done? No, Eve! But Adam stayed, and Adam watched, and Adam was making a choice. He should have smacked that fruit down as she touched it and said, now let's run. My son, if sinners entice thee, even if it's your wife, even if it's your husband, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. That's the lie. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. You see the connection with Psalm 1? Don't walk with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Don't follow the wrong people. Parents, better for your kids to have no friends than bad friends. We all need friends. Here's my reality. I feel like I have one friend, and it's tenuous. It's my wife. No, she's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. She is. And I know that refers to Jesus Christ, but she sticks with me. I mean, it's so funny. So funny, you know. It's just funny when you hit your 30s. My son's turning 30 this year, and he goes, you know, Dad, I've given up on friends. Like, okay, Mr. Extremist. No, that's not what God wants. Right? And he goes, Emily's my best friend, and she's the only friend I need. I go, you know, I'm probably going to be your best friend. That's a good thing that she's your best friend. But you need more than Emily. We need the brethren. We need each other, right? And so follow the right people. Parents, if you get the heebie-jeebies about some friend, they're not allowed to spend the night. You get uncomfortable about friends, cut them off. And if people confront you, say, we're not comfortable. Don't say, well, that's okay, you can, and then regret it. If you can't think of something, always tell the truth. You know, you don't have to say, we think your son's the most evil person in the United States, and we don't want our kids around you. You know, you can just say, we're just not comfortable, we're not at peace. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to make a decision. If you think I'm odd, that's okay. my kids are more important than your feelings. You better get used to being awkward. Once you get used to being awkward, you'll share the gospel with anyone. Right? Because isn't that why we don't share the gospel? We don't look weird. I'm weird. And so are you. Once you get comfortable with being weird, be nice about it. I know I've given you a lot of mean examples. Because sometimes it takes that. Does it not? It takes that. You're like, I got to be weird to protect your kids. Right? These teenagers are trying to destroy your kids. And they don't even know why. They interview kids. Why did you steal? I don't know. It was exciting. And my friend did it. Oh, and your IQ is about single digits. Right? They just follow the crowd. So I'm telling you, Eve drew Adam into sin. Then look at this verse. I'm almost done. One more minute. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Don't you drag other people into sin. You know what? I'll tell you this. It's so daunting. I wish I wasn't a pastor. I love being a pastor. But I told Nassim this. He kind of just didn't understand it. I said, you know what scares me when God's people start listening to me? I am way more comfortable when you don't listen to me. Then I can just preach without responsibility. Once you start listening to me, I'm like, oh man, alive. Am I right? Better make sure. You understand this? I'll be held accountable. More accountable than you. Greater condemnation. Be not many masters, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. I love being a pastor. If I think about it too much, I will hate being a pastor. Don't be involved in dragging other people into sin. Final thing. Adam loved Eve more than God. And I just told you, Adam didn't love Eve. If he had loved Eve, he would have protected her. But he loved Eve more than he loved God. Adam loved Eve more than he loved God, and Adam didn't even love Eve. Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I will tell you, ponder this week. A great prayer is, oh God, help me to see sin the way Jesus did. Jesus defeated sin with what? Scripture. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We're learning in Sunday school. Ponder, meditate on the things of God, on his gospel, on Jesus Christ. Work at it. I love this. I'm in the awkward stage still of pondering the gospel and trying to stoke my love for Jesus Christ every day. If you were with me, you'd go, man, that's odd, because I'm like, you know, I'm not used to it. I will not give up until I know how to stoke greater love for God. I know how to abide in Christ. I know what it means to ponder and meditate on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That'll lead me to love him more and lead me to honor him more. That's what it's about. I don't know how much time I got left. I sure want to finish well. It's all about the honor of Christ. And I'll tell you this, that is what'll get in my way. When I listen to the devil, when I don't flee, when I don't hide God's word in my heart, when I listen to the flesh and don't walk in the spirit, when I don't protect my family, when I draw others into sin, and when I love God less than anyone. God loves you. He'll help you. Don't be discouraged. I feel like I've been passionate tonight. Sin will destroy you, chew you up, and spit you out. Clinton, I'll tell you this. I love having you tonight. Clinton, the only way to get rid of your sin, you hear this tonight, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We're going to talk more about that, all right? I love your spirit. I love that you're here. Sin will mess us up, won't it? Thank you for listening. Let's pray.